This is a meeting of the Affiliates Task Force. It's March 15th, 2007, and I believe Ursula Rudenberg, who is the Affiliates Coordinator, will begin a roll call.
Okay, Ursula Rudenberg, Affiliates Coordinator.
Do I
read the names?
Okay.
Right? Sorry, I've never
done
that.
For this meeting, we don't have a secretary or actually much organization for the first meeting.
Okay, will do. Sarv Randhawa. Chandra Hoffman. Margaret Prescott. Alan Minsky. Don White.
Don White is here. Alan Minsky is no longer a member of the KPFK LSD.
Okay.
Sure. Now, Sean Rhodes.
Yeah, he had said he wanted to stay on the committee just
as a listener. As
a listener,
a, but.
Paid
staff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Ray LaForest. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Hi, Sean.
How are you?
Berta Silva. Teresa Allen. Sandra Rawlin. Rawline?
Rawline, yeah.
Rawline. Is Sandra here?
Mm-hmm.
No. Evelyn Bethune. Deb Shaftel.
Here.
Was that a here?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
Rob Robinson. Was that a yes?
He was here earlier. He may have muted.
Hello?
Hello? Who just joined the call?
Ursula, I've been calling all around. The number wasn't posted anyplace. I don't know how people are supposed to know.
No, Lori posted it.
Huh?
Yeah, Lori. Huh.
Lori posted it.
I didn't get her email.
Oh.
I just took a chance.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I'm glad I saved this number. What is the protocol for knowing what number to call in for these meetings?
Laurie did send a notice out, but obviously your email wasn't attached to that. It wasn't included in that. I think it was sent out about 3 days ago. Or 2 days ago, but 2 or 3 days ago, yeah.
Okay. Who just joined the call?
This is Rob. I cut myself off by accident.
Okay.
Yeah. And Ursula, this is Dina Colbert.
Okay, Dina Colbert and Lori Taguma. And that's it. That's the end of the roll call.
Well, Ursula, I'm happy to lead the meeting, except I'm at a disadvantage for this at this meeting because I'm away from home and I don't have my material, so... If I could implore you to pick up as usual, when you do a fine job.
Okay. Give me 1 second. I wasn't planning to chair the meeting, so let me just get the agenda. If I remember correctly, the first matter on the agenda was a presentation after roll call.
Shall I read the agenda that you set out,
please.
Ursula?
That would be great because I don't have it.
Yeah, the agenda that Ursula sent out was point
when
one.
When did that go out?
Okay, I have the date, March 13th, Tuesday, March 13th. But frankly, I'm not sure. What is your... Well, no, don't say it. I don't see your... I don't think I see your email address here. I don't know. I see most of them, but I'm not sure yours is here. But
LSB
point one was
CH.
A point.
You
I'm sorry.
You don't see LSBCH.
Let's see LSBCH. Yes, I do see it.
Well,
And it has the call-in numbers.
Yeah. Well, I was out of town and I was having trouble with emails, so maybe that's why I wasn't getting.
Yeah, because this was sent to you on March 13th. And it has the call-in numbers. Okay, so the agenda is that Ursula sent out is introductions, and for some reason she put 30 minutes, but And number two, presentation by the affiliates coordinator, 20 minutes. Number three is questions and discussion, 20 minutes. Four is election of chair and rotating minute taker, that's 10 minutes. And number five is delegation of work groups, that's 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Okay. I'll start with the presentation. I'll try to keep it within 20 minutes so that there'll be plenty of time. I think most of you on the call are familiar with the affiliates program and its history at the station. Just in case there is somebody who is not, the affiliates program dates back, the current affiliate program dates back to 2002 when a plan was put forth before the IPNB and was voted to become a project of Pacifica National. And since then, at the time, I think we had 13 affiliates left after the struggle. This new plan was based on a model of service, which was in some ways what had been directly communicated to us by many affiliates. And based upon that model, the program has grown rapidly. Today, the program has 112 affiliates. And I'm very pleased to tell you that our latest affiliate is in a station in Nigeria, which is really our first international affiliate.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's a station which claims to have a listening area of 24 million people. So I can only assume it has an enormous wattage. And it's located in north central Nigeria, close to Abuja. And they're extremely excited about being part of the network and getting involved with folks. So if any of you know people at your stations that would have a particular interest in collaborating with an African station, please let me know, because they've asked for people within our network that they can collaborate with. Currently there's 112 stations.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Teresa. Did the meeting start at 7:15 or 8:15 our time?
We're just starting the meeting, Teresa.
Okay. Sandra Rawlein called me, and she's on her way home to get to the phone, so she'll be a little bit late coming on.
Okay.
May I ask a question about the Nigerian station? Do you want us to hold questions till your report's over?
Yeah, let me finish, and then we can do the questions. I think we'll get through quicker that way.
That's fine. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure if we started the meeting yet.
That's okay.
Thank you.
Another really exciting new affiliate is a community radio station in Selma, Alabama, and the affiliation was initiated by two folks that have a show, and one of the folks is a gentleman named Mr. Chestnut, who is apparently an extremely highly respected civil rights lawyer. He was Martin Luther King's lawyer in Selma during the civil rights movement there, and has gone on to do other very important work around the country. And they also are really eager for contact with the rest of the network. So those were our two most recent additions that are really kind of exciting new directions for the network to go. And other kind of background information about the program, this past October, many of you know that the affiliation fees were raised substantially, and so the kind of core affiliates that we have really made a substantial investment in the network at this point. There's always a certain percentage of stations that do not pay because they cannot. Most of them do eventually pay. Sometimes it takes them a year or two to get the resources together. And there are a few stations that have never paid, and so far, we have had a policy of never refusing affiliation to anybody based on money. And it seems to be something that is a plus, not a minus, for us to do business that way. So today what we have is really based on the model that was put forth in 2002. We have an affiliates program, which I can say is quite stable and growing at a rate of about two affiliates or at least two inquiries a week, which result in a kind of a steady, slow increase in affiliates. And with time, there's really tremendous potential. Many possibilities can be introduced, new types of affiliation. There's a lot of different directions we can go. We're actually approached by a lot of different types of people who want to be part of the network now because they feel that the Pacifica Network is something of value. And that's a discussion we can, you know, have some other time, because there's a lot of new options for what kind of new ways we could define what an affiliate is with the network. The vision of the network is really a growing vision of what I think Dave Adelson has referred to as civic, Rob, help me out here, civic service, I think is how he calls it. Basically, you know, it's an embodiment of the vision that was put forth by Lou Hill and his friends, that Pacifica is really a service, a community service, and not a commodity-driven network. And so we really operate in that way with the affiliates. We're here to help them grow, to support them in their own independent endeavors. And in return, it seems to actually grow financially under those circumstances too. So it's an exciting time. It's also a time where I think certain questions have to begin to be answered. I do feel that this is a very, very critical year for the affiliates program. I feel that we can make or break the program this year. I'm not saying that kind of to be dramatic. I think it's really true. Why do I say that? I think I've talked about the potential, the fact that we kind of have a program like this now. But on the other hand, there are certain things about, you know, growing with size that brings up other issues too, and I want to talk briefly about those issues. But I just want to say that I really feel that those of you who are on this task force this year, I thank you for joining this task force. I know it was not a requirement for board members to join this task force. But I do feel that you will be the people this year that will really have a lot to say about whether this program succeeds or fails, because I think it could go either way. And so I got together with some people from last year's task force. Dina conducted a survey last year of the former task force, and we've tried to come up with some ideas about how to focus more on policy so that try to provide you folks with more clear information about what policy decisions are really involved with this program, and how to make it more clear and easy for you to do what board members do, and not waste time kind of in sidetracks. So hopefully all of you got the set of priorities that this transition group came up with. I came up with that together with some other members particularly Dina, Rip, and Chandra, I don't think I'm leaving anybody out, did some work on trying to come up with this traditional information. And so what I'd like to say by explanation, kind of as background to why these priorities were set, or why, you know, we came to these, by just explaining a few things, and I'm going to keep things general. Obviously, a lot of what I'm saying, I hope, will be subjects that we can go into more in depth in the work groups. So I've divided the information between what I'm calling internal needs and pressures and external needs and pressures as things that I feel need to be addressed this year. And it's really, in a sense, it's it's two main projects. One is developing organizational clarity so that the affiliates program, it's clear where the affiliates program exists in Pacifica, which is not clear right now. And the other thing is really establishing some sort of outreach and public relations position so that we begin to really have a message to give to the world. And so in terms of the internal needs that I see, impressions and pressures that I think are kind of bearing on the affiliates program, one is that we don't really have a definition of an affiliate. We're relying on habit, you know, just on what has happened kind of by itself. We've never really defined what an affiliate is, so it's also very difficult for us to not only know how to work with other people in the network, for instance, other committees in Pacifica, like the Technology Committee or the Licensing and Distribution Committee, and also Pacifica Management, Lonnie and Greg, all have you know, certain interests and ideas about the topic of how to distribute and sell or not sell services and programs. And if we can define better, you know, what an affiliate is, I think it'll be easier for us to work together with the other people in the network that are also talking about these issues. And also, if we have a definition, we can also develop new types of clients, which a lot of them are already coming to me. And just to give you just a real brief example, we have, you know, networks now that are forming, regional networks, and they would like to affiliate with Pacifica as networks. And another example is we get contacted by Community Access TV. They would like, you know, Pacifica to sell them a program stream to put on their TVs as background, you know, for various community calendar or whatever they have. So those are just two examples of new areas where people are kind of calling us and saying, we want to work with you. Another internal need is the need for really accurate information about the realities of the Pacifica program. There's a need to talk about, you know, what are really the facts about the finances and the management of this program. I feel that it's very, very important that the board, Pacifica board, have accurate information about what's happening with the affiliates program. This has we have had problems with this in the last few years. A lot of inaccurate information has been conveyed to the board.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Ursula? I'm not hearing Ursula anymore.
No, I don't either.
That's
weird. Hello? We probably just knock stuff off. We all do it once in a while. Are the rest of us on the line?
Yes, yeah. I think so.
Okay, yeah. So it's just Ursula.
She'll probably call right back in.
Yeah. Yeah.
She might not realize that we don't hear her since she's giving her report.
It was all that emotion. It caused the phone to explode.
That's
something.
Right. We'll have to shout hallelujah.
Hello?
So we,
yeah.
Ursula?
Did I disappear?
Ursula?
Yeah, you disappeared.
Yeah, you did.
My phone did something funny, sorry. Let me see, where was I? I think I was talking about the need for information.
Yes.
Is that what I left off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did somebody just join the call?
Hi, Ursula, this is Sarv. I'm still on the road, but I'll be
okay.
joining you.
Okay, thank you, Sarv. I'll write down.
You're welcome.
Okay, so what I was saying is that there's really a need for accurate information about the Pacifica program. There has been a problem in the last few years of the information which has been conveyed regularly at board meetings is not accurately reflecting the realities of the management and the financial situation of the affiliates program. And I think it's very important that that become, you know, that begin to happen. Partly because I think there are certain successes that are happening that are not being conveyed, and also just simply for staff morale. Then also, I I see another internal pressure. It's just a financial one. There, we do without a public relations policy or an outreach strategy. There is no way that the mailers or short-term plans to raise money can ever replace an outreach and public relations strategy. And so there's a certain, you know, lack of support that this network is getting in the lack of that. Solutions, I'll just do bullet points real fast. Right now we don't need to belabor that. Solutions I'm suggesting is that there should be, I very much support Greg's proposal that there be an outreach and client services department as part of Pacifica National, and that the affiliates program stop being what is essentially now a pilot project. Organizationally, we still are operating as a pilot project, and we need to become a real department. Second of all, we need to start making definitions of affiliates, and we kind of started this last year. This task force has been entitled with the ability to make contracts, and so that's a great step forward. And the third thing is we just need to start making budgets and establish budgetary protocols. And the third thing is we need to develop an outreach strategy. So this kind of leads me to the second pressure, which is the external pressures, which is simply that the world has changed since 1995 when Pacifica began to really pursue having affiliates. We are no longer a sole source of content nationally. Content is being produced at affiliate stations. Very good content is. There are independent production companies that give free content everywhere. Democracy Now! Is no longer connected to Pacifica the way it was. Also, in terms of, not in terms of content, but in terms of, what should we say, like a role, political role in the country, Pacifica used to really have a unique role as a media democracy organization. Today, it has a very small presence, actually, in what is a growing media democracy movement. And sometimes we have a negative image. And there's many other organizations, such as Free Press, Prometheus Radio, even Democracy Now! have a much larger presence as a force in changing the media in this country. And there's also new types of networks springing up. There's regional networks. Many people perceive Democracy Now! As a network. And if we don't decide on some level soon to, what we want to tell the world we are, we're in danger of kind of dropping off the map in terms of independent media. I need a new phone. Sorry, my phone is dying. Constant problem around this house. Okay. So real quickly to wrap this up, the remedies that I would like to suggest for this last issue is simply that we begin to develop an outreach strategy this year, that we decide how we want to position Pacifica on the state of the media, and I suggest that we position ourselves as the champion of independent and grassroots community media, and that we and as a support system and infrastructure for community radio stations, both new ones and long-standing ones. And basically, the vision that I would put forth is that this is a historic time, that soon with the opening of this new FCC window filing that's coming, we will basically see the completion of the community radio map in the United States, because these will be the last of the nonprofit licenses. So what happens after this filing is going to be pretty close to what we have in this country with community radio. Of course, they'll always be able to buy a few, but it'll be much slower after that. So what we have now, what we're looking really at, is the end of a period of American history where community radio grew. And Pacifica was really the mother of that movement. And today, these stations that now exist
really can be seen as American treasures of media democracy and as democratic media centers for their communities and places where people in the future will be trained, where they can meet, relate, and where there'll still be private discourse over the airwaves. And in many ways, this very, very beautifully dovetails with the work that David and Rob is doing and others in regards to Creative Commons, where we're really helping to, you know, give the country the message that Pacifica really stands for service, for, you know, for democratic communication and civic service. And I think that this role is the role which will bring tremendous support for our network. And I think it's the role that is our historic entitlement. We are the people that started this whole type of media, and I know that there are many people who would be very gratified to see that we would step in the role of the champion of community radio in the United States. And so that's I'm going to stop there because that's I think I've said a lot, and I think I'll stop and take some questions. I do want to say one more thing about that. I'm aware that if we really decided to take on that role, that not only would it be historic, it would also be a new direction for Pacifica. And so, you know, we would you know, have to have that awareness that this is a commitment that Pacifica has not, you know, consciously made. And I think many people have looked to Pacifica and hoped for that. But we would really be kind of breaking new ground, and I think it would be a historic decision on Pacifica's part to do that. Thank you for listening, and maybe we should do questions and answers now.
This is Teresa, and I have a question. Have you talked to the executive director? And what did he think about your ideas for reaching out aggressively and saying that we are the support group for alternative radio media?
He's very much in favor of it. He's very excited about it and is prepared to support us in all ways.
All right. Good. Okay.
Don White here.
Go ahead,
Don.
Yeah. Yes, you know, Ursula, you and I have actually talked about some of the specifics of Greg's concept. It might help this group if you explained some of the specifics. I know, from my standpoint, a real step forward, it seems like a minor step, but a major step, I think, was at the New York LSB where we took the affiliates program out of archives and gave it its own line item and began to think of it as, I don't know, a department or a unit or I don't know what it is. But could you kind of go into some of the specifics of what you and Greg have talked about?
I'm sorry, Don. I'm trying to think of what you mean. Can you explain a little bit more? Because I'm not
yes.
sure what you mean.
Yes. When you and I talked earlier,
mm-hmm.
you said that Greg was thinking of creating, and I can't remember the term, not public relations, but kind of public relations
oh, okay.
and outreach
okay.
unit. Does that shake
yeah.
your memory?
Yeah, I think he actually spoke about this at the last board meeting in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That
yeah.
what he would like to do is create a department of outreach and I guess what I would call it right now would be outreach and client services. So that, in other words, he's positioning the affiliates program together with outreach efforts, which I think is the right place for it to be. I agree with him very much. I think it would be it would just add momentum to both to do that because it is essentially the same thing. And I think that's what you're referring to, Don.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions?
Teresa, was
okay.
that the question you had earlier?
Yeah, I thought, Teresa, you had a question also about the new affiliate station in Nigeria.
Oh, You said one is in what
Alabama.
Country?
Nigeria.
It's in Nigeria.
Oh, Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Are these people interested in only affiliates? I have someone that I know that used to work in the Peace Corps in Nigeria, and he runs Urban Harvest Community Gardens program here in Houston, which is a very successful nonprofit, and he's on a couple committees at KPFT, and he's very opinionated about news from Africa, especially since he hears BBC and their coverage of what's happening in Africa. Are they interested? I mean, what when you say they wanted contact from affiliates, what did they want? Did they want people to give them programs, or what did they want?
They want to collaborate with people in the United States doing radio.
Hmm. Okay. Can you send out contact information?
Sure.
Because if you do that, he might want to actually have them do a show with him or something.
Sure.
All right. And
join the call.
I'm sorry?
Sandra in Houston.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
And I also did make contact with someone of the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I guess, is Nathan on this call?
No.
Well, it did occur to me that, and this is, well, I guess this is for programming as well as affiliates. It occurred to me that organizations, nonprofits like the ACLU or Southern Poverty Law Center might want to do programs with us, and that might be rather exciting ventures. And if we have affiliates in those cities where they're located, that might make it all the more easier to do collaborative programs.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's all.
Okay. Since nobody's asking a question, maybe I'll say one more thing. I'm aware that most of you on this call are associated with a local Pacifica station. So I do want to say that I believe very strongly that the growth of the affiliate program does have it does contribute to the it does its part in contributing to the Pacifica stations as well. And I'm trying to think of some examples of what I mean by this. I do believe that the more that the Pacifica network is valued and as its reputation increases, I think that the reputation, it does benefit the Pacifica stations. Also, because the affiliates program is mostly about distribution, the program brings infrastructure to the Pacifica network that the Pacifica stations use as much, if not more, than the affiliates themselves, actually. For instance, the audio port was developed at the request of the affiliates because they wanted to exchange programs. But today, the Pacifica stations use the audio port much more than the affiliate stations do. Another example is simply that as a Pacifica National staff person, I do a great deal of work that actually is not directly related to the affiliates program. It's done, I step in from many different areas to kind of just keep, you know, all the fires that happen and the problems that arise and then the undefined needs come up. I provide staff for that. Also, a lot of Pacifica.
Ursula, could you give an example of that?
Well, okay. The most striking example is that we didn't have a national program director or coordinator for up until recently, and so I stepped in to do a lot of that facilitation, and I was managing the KU satellites. I mean, I wasn't running it, but I was the contact person. Pacifica doesn't run the satellite, KPFA does. And so I was the person who worked with the satellite group, folks to manage the satellites. I'll be splitting that now with Nathan. But a lot of the national programming coordination, the had to be done kind of on the fly, and so this is where a lot of it happened. Not all of it, but a lot of it. Somebody just joined the call. Hello?
Ursula, this is Sarv.
Hi, Sarv.
You just mentioned that at the audio port, most of the use is done by the Pacifica stations, five stations, and
yeah.
not the affiliates as much. Could you tell me what the reason for that is?
The Pacifica stations are just so much bigger.
No, but
they
why?
We have more people.
No, but why aren't the audio port being used by the affiliates? Is that
well,
because?
It is.
She didn't
they are
that,
using
sir.
It very heavily. It's just that the Pacifica stations are generally much larger stations, and so they use it more.
Right. Now, yeah, okay. Well,
are they uploading or downloading more?
They're doing both. Well, that I can't answer, Rob, because we don't keep track of who's downloading. So I can only judge by number of accounts. I know how many accounts each station has. I can't judge, how exactly they're using it.
Yeah, well, there's a way to know it, though, huh? Right?
Not right now, no. We would have to develop different software to know what people were doing with the audio port. We don't right now.
Right.
I think it's safe to say, though, that... we started the audio port hoping to help affiliates, and it's been not only great for affiliates and much appreciated, but it's also much used and appreciated by the Pacifica station. So
it will become our distribution system very soon. As the satellite phases out, the audio port is really, the technology that is working for us now.
Well, Ursula, Rip Robbins here. I think that's exactly the answer, is that prior to AudioPort, there was just a satellite system, and it's quite expensive to send programming over the satellite. So the AudioPort became the kind of the way people trade programs now. So it was really a good timing that AudioPort was invented, because it allowed the five Pacifica stations to share programming just as easily. And they've seen that, obviously. And
well, I just wanted to know how much use is being put to, and that's what my concern was. If there are 100 affiliate stations, and if there are two of them are using it or something like that, then I get concerned about it. But I want some kind of a data collected on that. So
sure, we can do
that. So
that
we know what's
really
going on.
But it's definitely not two station stars. That's a,
no, well,
a really
okay.
whatever
happened to be. I like to know what it is.
Right. But I want to make really clear, that's not even in the ballpark of what we're talking. The audio port is how the majority of the people now communicate with each other in the network. I mean, it's kind of a given now that it's the main distribution system.
Could you explain how it works and how it differs from the KU satellite?
And I could also say that when a person puts a program up, there is some data that they can get to find out how many times it's been downloaded. But what I think Ursula is saying is it's not something that Pete is able to just do a printout of the downloads of every show that's on AudioPort. But like I can go in and tell how many people have downloaded a show out of my workroom area.
Yeah, you can tell the AudioPort tells you how many people are using it. It doesn't tell you who they are. And that's a legal decision that was made when making the AudioPort for legal reasons.
So it's hard to tell.
So the information cannot be tracked.
So it's hard to tell whether they were affiliates, right?
Well, yes,
right.
It is, but.
Well,
but,
look,
you know,
at Nixon's example.
I speak with the affiliates all the time, and it's obvious that that's the method of distribution of choice, you know? I mean, it's a given to everybody. They're like, oh, yeah, I'll get it in AudioPort. I mean, it's. And you can tell when talking to people whether this is what people are using or not.
Well, we saw some Nixon support on the. I'm sorry.
Could someone tell me what mute is again on this?
Pound one.
Oh.
Did somebody else join the call, or was that my imagination?
Who all is on the call?
As far as I know, it's myself, Ursula, Rip Robbins, Don White, Sean Rhodes, Deb Shafto, Rob Robinson, Chandra Hausman, Dina Colbert, Teresa Allen, Sandra Rawlein,
yep,
and Teresa Allen.
And Lori Puma, right?
Lori? Okay.
Hi, Lori.
Lori's there?
And Sarv.
And Sarv.
Okay. Great.
Ursula?
Yes.
I'm here, too. Thank you.
Who's this?
Sarv.
Sarv.
Was that an exclamation point?
I do want to say thank you for the thorough report, Ursula. I have referred lots of people to PacificaNetwork.org to see the extent of the affiliates. I also have two other questions, and if I'm getting out of bounds, just tell me. First question, TSU is a college station in Houston. Is there a committee that's now working on what we're going to do when we have two radio stations in a very close proximity that want to be affiliates? Because I'm thinking TSU is a great school. We just gave them their library a huge collection of archive tapes because it's a black university. They were very appreciative. What if they wanted to affiliate so they had access to AudioPort, for example? Could we give them an affiliate contract with an understanding like you won't play Democracy Now, but you could have all of the other services, for example? Is there a point where we will discuss that?
Well, we'll put it on the agenda.
Okay.
I mean, of something to be worked on this year. It's a good point. You're right.
Because I think it'd be wonderful to have them have access to AudioPort, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot what the other question is. It'll come back. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to read your list. Pardon me?
Ursula, Sina, does that question that Teresa just asked fall under the committee that would evaluate what is an affiliate?
I think so. Don't you think?
That's why I'm raising it.
Yes, we could have affiliates with qualifications of some sort.
Yeah. Now, I was thinking of, I would like to try and send those of you on the committee some information this year that help you understand better what's going on. The things that I figured out so far is introductory information. I think I pass out my job description to all the board members. If there's anybody here that needs my job description, I will be happy to send that to you. Or maybe I'll just send it to everybody again, just so that it's just one package. I wanted to send you various links that help you see what's going on. Links to our website, thepacificanetwork.org. Links to, we have a description of the programs and services we offer to affiliates on the website. A link to our contract, so you can see what our contract looks like. A copy of the budget proposal as it stood last year, which shows some of what the finances, as I'm aware of them, are. And also a link to Radio for People website, which is a website we've developed working on informing people about the upcoming FCC license window. And I was also going to send you a link to the WKNH website. Again, that's an affiliate of ours who's made like a special Pacifica page. I thought it would be of interest to you to see how an affiliate is using their affiliation, you know, on their website. And I also want to send you a link to a website called Get Radio, which is a website that is being put out by Free Press. And it's a good example of how we are just really aggressive efforts that other media democracy organizations are embarking on. which I think you should I think you should see to kind of get a sense of the environment that we exist these days. Free Press originally really focused more on commercial and public radio, and now with this website, they are clearly announcing that community radio is their concern as well. So community radio has entered onto the radar for them. And I think we should think about that because it's, you know.
Who are those people?
Robert McChesney.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Free Press. And I think it's great that they're doing it, but I think we also need to ask ourselves where we want to stand in all of this so that we don't just disappear in the in all of this. So we've been doing really exciting work with this Radio for People campaign, which is a campaign about the FCC application, and I have a lot to say about that, and I'm hoping that some of you, you know, will be interested in that. But I kind of would like to stop now and hear what your interests are, if that's okay.
Ursula, Rip Robbins here. I was wondering if our other station manager had joined the call, but I guess not unless he's
yeah, I haven't. Himself. David, yet. Yeah, he something must have come up because he doesn't seem to be able to reach us. So
okay, well, then let's just keep going.
Next time. Yeah, next time. He wrote to me prior to the call and said he was looking forward to being here, so I don't know what happened. I'm wondering, maybe he lost the number. Maybe I'll have Pete call him and give him the number. I think that the reason why we allocated so much time originally to board members' introductions was because last year when people introduced themselves, they kind of explained what their particular interest was in being part of the task force. And I guess my question to you is, do you want to do that this year, or do you want to just go ahead and talk about your participation in this task force and set up the work group? Or decide if we want to have work groups.
Well, I think our interests would be displayed by the work groups we get on.
Okay.
In terms of a specific focus within the affiliate task force. I think any director that volunteered to be on this task force is expressing an interest, and I'm welcome all of them here on the call. So that part might be done, Ursula, already. And
okay.
We would just look
all right.
to the specific task that each person was willing to work with.
I have a couple
okay.
questions. Can
sure.
you hear me? I did not get the agenda. And
okay.
so I'm wondering what the agenda is.
Well, the agenda was first introduction, second was my presentation, third was questions, fourth was election of chair and minute taker, which I guess is where we're coming now, and the fifth is delegation of groups.
Okay. Okay.
I have a question, Ursula.
Yeah.
To start. You know, the note, you sent agenda and then you sent two attachments that go with it. One
yeah.
was the mandate of the affiliate task force, right? And the other one, I forgot what it was. It was the telephone numbers of affiliate members, committee on the task force.
Yes.
And the first one, the mandate of this committee. How did that come about?
At the end of the task force last year, Dina Colbert, who's on this call, conducted a survey with task force members so that we could look at this and kind of figure out what went right and what went wrong. One of the things that was clear was that, like most, you know, board groups, there was kind of a drift towards, you know, people getting bogged down in tasks instead of clarity around what the actual policy decisions were that the board members needed to be making. So between the time that the old task force ended and this meeting, there was a transitional group that did some talking about how to provide information to this group about the priorities so that we could try and work more efficiently this year, waste less people's time, and move forward in a more beneficial way. So there was a series of telephone calls, and the people that were on these calls, if I remember correctly, was myself, Dina, Chandra, and Rip. Is that right, Dina and Chandra and Rip?
I'm trying to remember if anyone else, but I can't recall anyone else being consistently on
it. Yeah, it was basically the people who volunteered to do it. And we had a series of telephone calls where we talked about what would be best based on the results of the survey and my opinions and their opinions and just a general sense of how to clarify it. And believe it or not, this is actually the short version. We actually worked really hard. And so basically, I think what we were trying to outline is where we thought, you know, work groups should be. And it basically, we came up with really four work groups. One would be developing an outreach department. Two would be developing an outreach strategy. Actually, it's really only three work groups. Defining the affiliate and client service is really part of developing an outreach strategy. And then the last one would be, I think it would be really great if we could start to develop some sort of advisory board of people who are not on this task force, but who can lend help to the network, you know, from other parts of the, you know, the media democracy movement or various other people.
Does that
answer your question, sir?
So there were four, yourself, Chandra, and Rip, and who were the fourth person?
Dina Colbert.
Dina Colbert. Is she, which station is she from?
BAI.
BAI?
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you very much.
Let me just introduce myself if people don't know who I am. I'm a listener volunteer, and I've been volunteering on the affiliate program since the coup. And so I helped as an interim person to work with the 13 affiliates that remained in the network, and then I worked forward from there.
I see.
And it was through that effort that we, at that point, hired Ursula to do an initial survey, and from that point, she was hired as a coordinator.
I see.
And so I continue to work as a volunteer in the program, but I'm not affiliated with an LSB or on the national board.
Yeah, in many ways, Dina has functioned as kind of the founder of the affiliates program because of the work she did during the struggle. She was really the person who made the connection with a lot of the affiliates during that period of time. And
thanks.
She was very instrumental in building the original task force during the IPNB that put together the model for the new affiliates program.
But I have to say that Teresa was part of that.
Yeah,
Teresa
I wanted to say that we have to acknowledge the role that Teresa Allen has played from the beginning, also working very closely with Dina and advocating consistently over the years on the national board to make sure that the affiliates program was recognized.
Absolutely.
I'm just glad we just kept going because it's been a very positive thing, and I want to just keep it going that way. Very, very positive.
And then the only other thing I would like to add, Star, just to answer your question more fully, was last year was the first year for the affiliate task force as such, and we had seven or eight different committees. And one of the things that came out of the survey is some of those committees didn't even get formed until like the month before we ended. It was just too broad and too big a picture. And so the reason we worked as an interim committee to try and hone it down to three or four committees this time is it seemed that that's doable, and that's what we're looking to do, is just make life simpler and more directed and focused.
Amen to that. Thank you.
Yeah, I really want to make a plea here that that this be a committee that is active and really sets goals and accomplishes very, very doable tasks this year. In all of the policy decisions we are making are absolutely timely and will make an enormous difference. And I feel that we have the information at our hands to make these decisions at this point. And so I just really want to make a plea to you that you see your power right now as policymakers and act on it.
This is Chandra, and I just wanted to say that I think it's great that we have all these new people that are PNB members that are on the committee, but I think that it would be great if we put a call out to the LSBs, because I don't think we have any LSB reps.
Sean's here.
Oh,
hey,
Sean.
Right?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
He has two LSB reps, Teresa and Deb, and I think Evelyn wants to join as well.
Oh, great. So maybe the other stations, the PNB reps on those stations can put out calls to, you know, request that people, you know, just remind people that this committee exists and they can join it if they'd like.
That's a very legitimate point.
Yeah.
And I think that it needs to be clear to people. If you really don't, you know, if you don't want to be involved in this group, just tell us. Because you can come on and, you know, you can devote as much time as you want. If you're only interested in one thing, just make it clear that that's what you want to work on. And so people will count on you for things that you have a passion about or you have a skill set, you know, to contribute to. Because unfortunately there were some people on last year that never showed up for any meetings. And there's no need for people to go on a guilt trip if they don't want to be on it. But you know, we want to pull people in, too, because the more that you can speak out at an LSB meeting and say, hey, the affiliates are doing this, or more you can spread the word and kind of tighten these bonds between the sister stations and the associate and the affiliates, all the better for everyone. Win-win.
One more request here, Ursula. Is it possible, you know, I worked in the daytime and I leave at 5 o'clock, and the earliest I can get on these calls is around 5:30 here Pacific time. Is it possible for the rest of the people, can we accommodate that? If not, then I'll have to do something. Because I'd like to join the conference calls, but I just can't sometimes because of my work situation. What does everybody think
it's
about?
It's okay with me. I'm an East Coaster. I guess it's up to the other PFW and BAI folk.
Yeah, that's what I was putting out there. And these meetings are usually about maybe an hour and a half.
Yeah.
An hour and a half. On the outer edge, maybe 2 hours.
So you want them to start at 8:30 rather than 8:15 Eastern?
5:30,
right.
Yes.
Right.
Dina, Sean, you have any opinion about that?
Not later than 8:30.
Yeah, no, 8:30.
And that's only for an hour and a half, I mean.
Yeah. Is that good enough time, Ursula?
It's okay with me. I'm fine with
if
it.
If we get started at 8:30.
Right.
Yeah,
so this is Rob. I'd do anything for your support, as you know. but frequently what happens is it takes us a half an hour to get going. On any of the calls, I'm not saying this committee singling this out. So that means we're starting at 9 o'clock, and unfortunately, our meetings have a tendency, you know, to go for 2 hours plus. So,
well, there's another alternative is that you guys can go ahead and start at 5 Pacific time, and then I can join you a half hour later. That's another option. I don't want to inconvenience everybody on the East Coast either. So, and also,
well,
should we
try it for a month?
I think
sure.
It could be, you know, see how, I mean, you have more experience in that. I mean, I don't know, I was not on the committee, so maybe Teresa might have some ideas.
Well, these meetings have always moved along briskly, and as far as I know, they've all fairly well started on time, because we can start without a quorum.
Yeah.
So there should be no need unless it's horribly short on people, the meeting should start on time.
Don White here. I'm perfectly willing to accommodate. Sir, I'm retired, so I have a lot of flexibility.
Thank you, Don.